إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد، my dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, those people who said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our Rabb, and then who were steadfast on that, ثم استقاموا, and then who remained steadfast on that, لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون, for them there is no fear and there is no sadness. The reference to fear and sadness, or the absence of fear and sadness, refers to the Jannah, of course, but it also, like everything else, refers to in this life. Fear is the outcome of uncertainty about the future, and sadness is the outcome of regret of the past. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that those who say that Allah is our Rabb and who remain steadfast on that, ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُ, they will not have either of these. Now, happiness is defined as the absence of fear and sadness. No regrets, no fears. So, inshallah, this ayat refers to and promises happiness in this dunya and akhirah. We ask Allah for that for ourselves. Now, what is this issue of steadfastness? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not simply say, قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُ. He also said, ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُ. What is steadfastness? And this is something that we say, but we probably do not say it with awareness. Because if you see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked us to make dua for in Surah Al-Fatiha, which we do in every rakat of every salah, and that dua is اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. Again the same thing. O Allah, guide me to the path of steadfastness, istiqamah. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط المستقيم is translated variously as a straight path and so on and so forth. But istiqamat is not just straight. As a matter of fact, istiqamat, if you ask me to define it, I will say istiqamat is that which is not straight. Istiqamat is a state of being. It has nothing to do with the path. The path can be straight, it can be crooked, it can be winding, it can be, you know, up and down, all kinds of things. I mean, that the state of the path or the condition of the path or the nature of the path has nothing to do with istiqamat. Istiqamat is your state of being. How are you on this path? It's not the state of the path. The path is not going to heaven. You are going to heaven. So therefore, the issue of steadfastness is a state of being, number one. Number two, why are we saying steadfastness? Nobody says you need to be steadfast when you are walking down the garden path in a rose garden, right? Nobody says that. Because the implication of a stroll down the garden path is that there is no difficulty. It's a nice, pleasant exercise, alhamdulillah, you enjoy yourself, stroll down. There is no goal to achieve, there is no speed to maintain, there are no difficulties that you foresee, beautiful breeze, nice aroma of the flowers. What is there to be steadfast about? Right? But if you are going through a forest, if you are climbing a mountain, if you are doing something which has difficulty in it, varying levels of difficulty, sometimes it might be small difficulty, sometimes it might be enormous, there might be threats, there might be actual threat to your life and so on, and safety. In those circumstances, people will say you have to be steadfast. You have to be steadfast. There's no need for steadfastness when you are sailing a little paper boat in a garden pond. But if you are sailing a ship on the high seas in a storm, then you need steadfastness. So steadfastness, the reference to steadfastness automatically means that difficulties are going to be there. If there were no difficulties, nobody would have talked about steadfastness. If there were no tests, nobody would have mentioned steadfastness. Steadfastness is required when there are tests and difficulties. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned steadfastness straight away. قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. You say, people who say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is my Rabb, and then who are steadfast on that. What does it mean? It means that the moment you said قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ, difficulties will come. As long as you do not say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is my Rabb, there is no problem. Yeah, it's a very paradoxical thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala owns the universe. Allah created the universe. Allah owns us. Allah owns our enemies. Yet, as long as you do not say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is my Rabb, as long as you do not say I am a Muslim, as long as you do not say I have to follow Islam, as long as you do not say any of these things, there is no problem. Nobody is against you, nobody is trying to, you know, catch you or do something with you. Nobody's got any word of criticism. I'm not saying necessarily that you have to be, you know, get drunk in a bar every night. No. You can live a perfectly neat and clean and healthy life without saying Allah is my Rabb. This is a needless misconception that people have. They think that the only way of being, you know, socially relevant and a good citizen is that you have to necessarily be a Muslim. Not necessary. You can be a very good citizen without being a Muslim. As far as the world is concerned, as far as your society is concerned, I did a khutbah in Kuwait on this, and saying that you do not need Islam to succeed. People saw the title, they said, what kind of a title is that? You listen to the khutbah, you will know. Alhamdulillah, that was, you know, then they appreciated. My point is that just to live in this world, to live a moral, legal, socially valid or relevant life, you don't need any religion, you don't need Islam, you don't need anything. Then why do you need Islam? You need Islam because this is not life alone. This is only one piece of life. And this piece of life is critically important because it has a very, very long effect on the life to come, which has no ending. That is why you need Islam. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, قَالُ رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اتَّقَامُوا, this is the reference, which means that in this world, to live you don't need anything. But if you say, Allah ilaha illallah, then immediately there are questions, there are boundaries, there is this, there is that, there are people who stand up in opposition. All kinds of things happen, varying level of degrees. I mean, not everyone's life is in danger. But at the same time, there is some tension involved. And today we are seeing, this is again, when I say today we are seeing more, it's again, please understand, it's not unique. No need to get depressed with all this. Muslims have faced this and worse, million times worse. This is like today what's happening to Muslims, even globally. Now, I'm not trying to run down or denigrate or discount the difficulties that our brothers and sisters are going through in places like Iraq and Iran and Syria and so on. But at the same time, if you compare it historically to what Muslims underwent in our history, this is nothing. And people like us living in this country, I mean, it's a joke if somebody says that you have difficulties in India. It's an absolute joke. So the point is that despite that, all of these are related. Why do we have difficulties at all? Because you are saying Allah is my Rabb. Because you have chosen Islam as your path. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, Alhamdulillah, good for you, you chose Islam as your path, now stay on it. Stick to it. This path comes with difficulties. This is part of the game. ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. And what is the result? If you do that, what will happen? لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. Allah is saying that if you stick to this path, your fear of the future will disappear. Your fear, your regret of the past will disappear. And you will go into a place in which there are no regrets and no fears, which is Jannah, inshallah. How does fear of the future disappear? Because one of the outcomes of facing difficulties is increase in self-confidence. I'm talking about a very worldly thing. I'm not talking theology. I'm saying that the more you are in difficulties, ask anyone who has come up from scratch, who was nothing. I know why Mushtaqba is laughing. I'm not laughing, smiling. Because isn't this true? You come from nothing, Who has the maximum confidence? I consult with big business families. You know who are the most fearful people? I feel sorry for them. Are the sons and daughters of billionaires. When I talk to them, when I do my mentoring and coaching with them, the most fearful people are sons and daughters of billionaires because they never saw difficulty in their lives. They never saw difficulties in their lives. People like, somebody sent me to a car to pick me up, S-Class Mercedes, and when I opened the door, it's like a trash can. Right? It looks like a trash can. And then the person who sent the car is, you know, very apologetic. I'm extremely sorry, you know, these children, they do this. I'm thinking that I come from a generation. I mean, I am of course dead against buying, you know, expensive junk which depreciates. But if somebody has an S-Class Mercedes, that fellow will even clean that car with a cloth that he will probably use to tie his turban with. Yeah? I mean, that is the kind of care and concern and... But how come the same S-Class Mercedes is treated like a junkyard bike? Because those children grew up in that thing. For them, a car is an S-Class Mercedes. There is nothing else which is a car. So what's there to appreciate? What kind of a life is that? Just think about that. You know, this comes from excess wealth. There are people in Delhi, there are people, psychologists, who are running anti-depression programs for the children of the super rich. I'm not making all this up. Go look it up. It sounds completely insane, but this is our world. So when you are living in a life, or you have come up from a background which had difficulty, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this, because that is what gives you your confidence. You got confidence because you hit the road. You know what the road is. And that's why I tell people with wealth, do not destroy your children by mollycoddling them, by giving them all kinds of stuff. You are destroying their lives. You are writing failure into their life script. Take it from me. You succeeded because you faced difficulties. And you say, no, my children will never face that. Very nice. So destroy your children. They are your children. What do I care? ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُ Istiqamat. Why no fear and no regret? Because he learned from his past. So it's not a regret. Even though I made a mistake, I learned from that mistake. So the mistake is not a regret. It's not something I feel bad about, because Alhamdulillah, I learned from this mistake. And why no fear of the future? Because I get... By istiqamat, I get confidence. I did all this, I came through all of this difficulty. What can the world give me? Let it give me. Alhamdulillah. And I said, Rabbun Allah. So I have tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have tawakkul on Allah. I walk a path which was difficult. Alhamdulillah, Allah has given me success. La khawf wa la husn. That is the power of istiqamat. As they say, not everything that is faced can be changed, but nothing can be changed unless it is faced. And that is the key thing about istiqamah. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those people who are meant by this ayah, and to give us a life which has no fear and no sadness while we are alive, and no fear and no sadness when we go before him, Jalla Jalaluhu. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.